This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So, Aaron.
Yeah.
We're going to chat wrestling. We haven't chatted wrestling in a long time.
In a while, yeah. Since I rage quit.
Well, I kind of basically do the show every other week now because of my schedule. And because, realistically, like, there's not enough going on. There's a ton of stuff going on in wrestling, but there's not enough mainstream stuff going on that I want to talk about that makes me feel like I need to do a show every week. Like, right. I don't know how these podcasts... Like, I would start to dislike wrestling if I did a podcast breaking down Raw and SmackDown, like Pro Wrestling Torch, who does one after Raw, who does one after SmackDown and overanalyzes to death. I would stop liking wrestling.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. So, I don't know really... I'm just going to kind of jump around a little bit.
Sure. I will follow where you lead.
So I just read today, or just read a little while ago, that Abby Lathe, a.k.a. Kimberly, has been released.
Yeah, it was released. Yeah. I saw.
And Sage Beckett, who played Rosie Lottolove in TNA, back in TNA, and then she lost a bunch of weight, and she was in the Mae Young Classic this year. And yeah. She tweeted, Abby Lathe hasn't said anything other than she posted an inspirational Rocky quote about getting back up, and then Sage Beckett posted on Twitter, I've spent 13 years on my body, now to spend some time on my mind, so whatever. All I know is Abby Lathe as Kimberly wrestled a lot up this way, in the Northeast, and she's been gone since December 2016, basically, because that's when she signed, and we never saw, except for the Mae Young Classic, we never saw on TV.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't – when they announced that they released her, I forgot that she was even there.
Yeah, I mean, she seemed to get a really good push in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
You know, even the fact that they gave her – have her using the alligator clutch finish, which they said, Mae used or whatever. And then she was eliminated, and the only other time we saw her was two Battle Royals on NXT. And then she worked a bunch of house shows for them, so – You know, to me, it's like, it's too bad she's gone, because I always thought she was a great wrestler. I thought she was better than Ruby Riott, who's now up on the main roster, Heidi Lovelace.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Biff Busick, a.k.a. Oney Lorcan. Like, he was a guy from Boston. I saw him up here a bunch, and I friggin' loved watching him wrestle live. He was so intense, he was so awesome, and you've seen bits and pieces of that on NXT, but to me, they're not using him to what I think is his potential down there. So I would like it if he left and came up here.
See, I could see that, but at the same time, I mean, I think NXT is starting to run into the same problem that the main roster has.
Yeah.
Where there's too much talent, and I mean, NXT is only an hour a week.
Yeah.
So how are you going to get, you know, your Adam Coles and, you know, like Aleister Black and all these other people? How are you going to get him on the show with all of them when they're always built to, you know, the next takeover or the next set of call-ups, or, you know, how a bunch of them will be in the Rumble, you know, things like that.
Right. I think
it's just tough.
I think that's probably the reason why the NXT takeovers are typically better than their pay-per-view counterparts, and it's because they have more time to build up. And we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
They're building five or six matches, and they have an hour a week to build these matches, so you're not seeing the guys as much. And I think that's why the takeovers are better, because you're finally seeing those guys wrestle, or you're finally seeing matches with them, as opposed to, like, for instance, AJ Styles just got pinned last week on TV for free in a non-title match. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, like, that's... I still...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I say it all the time. Remember when, like, I mean, when we were kids.
Yeah.
The, like, I mean, maybe twice a year you'd see Hogan have a match on TV.
I did a whole blog post about like the times we saw Hogan on TV that wasn't Saturday night's main event.
Right, but if
it was
you want to
so
see the world
few
title,
and far in between, yeah.
I mean, you got to buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And there were four.
Yeah, and you saw promo, or you had to go to house shows.
Right.
That was the other thing, but like you saw
promos.
He would do promos, segments on Brother
or,
Love.
Or vignettes and things
whatever,
like
that. Vignettes, yeah. But like actual matches, I think – I don't have the number right now because I don't have that blog in front of me. But like in a 12-year period, it was like 12 matches that he had on the syndicated shows. You know, you don't count Saturday night's main event. You don't count the pay-per-views. But, you know, like
– yeah.
Otherwise, he was never on. And now you have like – like the fact that they're threatening AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura is garbage.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that match should have been set in stone, and then essentially those guys shouldn't have just not done anything until the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they don't need to have them tag together and tease tension, all right? None of that needs to be done because this is the match people want to see. All you have to do is give us the match.
I'll put it this way.
Yeah.
After the Royal Rumble,
yep.
The only reason I have not canceled my WWE network
yep.
is because I want to see AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura at WrestleMania.
Oh, me too.
If for some reason they pull some bullcrap before then, I'm done. That I am so disgusted with 90% of what's going on. That it's just ridiculous.
Well, I subscribe to the WWE Network, and I also subscribe to New Japan World.
Okay.
And New Japan doesn't have a weekly TV show. They just have shows and pay-per-view. Like, they have their once-a-month pay-per-view event, quote-unquote, but they just have their shows. So, like, when you...
Unless you get Access TV...
Well,
and then you get
that doesn't count
because weekly...
that's all old footage, though. That
no, it's current stuff.
Oh, yes, friend. They did show some Wrestle Kingdom, but none of that on Access TV, none of that is building.
Oh, no,
it's
not at all.
The storyline building or whatever. So, anyways,
right.
So, like, they just had the 46. Like, okay, in the month of March, it cost me $9.72 for the exchange rate to pay for March, okay? And I'm getting, they just had the 46th anniversary show on the 6th. And now the New Japan Cup starts on the 9th. And there is... See, hold on. I think we're getting 12 shows this month on New Japan World.
Jeez.
And the caliber of wrestling is... It's completely different. Because they don't do a lot of promos. They don't, like... They'll have post-match comments, but someone just comes out and gives them a stare down, and that's... Oh, they're wrestling now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, we're getting 12 shows this month on New Japan World. You're getting... We got the 46th anniversary show. There's the Strong Style Evolve show in Los Angeles on the 26th. And then on March 30th is the Sakura Genesis show,
okay.
Which is a... like that monthly pay-per-view. But the New Japan Cup is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 shows. And it's a tournament. And it just... I can't wait to watch this because it's just... It's going to be awesome. And it's definitely worth my $9.22. And each show is usually about 3 hours long, so... But it's not overdone. It's really not overdone. You're just getting solid matches. And I think the one thing that New Japan has done, like, they protect Okada because in, like, a lot of these shows, he won't be in a singles match defending the title again. He'll be in a six-man tag or he'll be in an eight-man tag. And you'll see elements of, oh, maybe this will be the next challenger or maybe this will be the next challenger. And then eventually they'll present to who the challenger is. So... I don't know, the booking style of New Japan is completely different from WWE. It's a lot more old school, I think. And they're not going for ratings. They're just going to put out a good show. So you know what I mean?
Right.
Where I think you have Raw and SmackDown, which is they're fighting to get ratings every week.
Yeah, but like they don't get that if they don't do all this ridiculous crap,
yeah,
then they would get ratings every week.
Right.
Like when their ratings were higher... they were putting on fantastic shows every week, and now it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. Like, I was reading a report on SmackDown. Like, did we really need to see Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton have a match again?
No.
Nobody cared when they were feuding for the title.
Nope, they didn't.
And now that it's nothing, like, who cares? That's a waste of TV time.
Yep, I agree with that 100%. I also, like, okay, one of my favorite things now on SmackDown. Well, okay. Sorry, I'm jumping around my brain a lot. Rusev. I've always liked Rusev because I just have. I think his entrance music is cool. I think he's a good wrestler. And now with this whole Rusev Dave thing getting over, it's hilarious. Like, but why has Nakamura not done anything or had anything going on since Royal Rumble? You obviously haven't been watching, but like you said, you've been reading the results. He hasn't been involved in anything. His match for Fastlane was set up Tuesday night, where he accepted Rusev's open challenge, basically. And then Nakamura sings at the end that after Sunday, it'll be Nakamura Day, and walks off. And Rusev says, "You can't make up your own holiday, bro." Like, to me, that was hilarious. It's why I think so, Kevin Owens is hilarious, because of just the little things.
But this is my problem with Kevin Owens right now.
Yep.
He's doing the exact same storyline with Jericho he's now doing with Sami Zayn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's one of the best people on the roster.
Yep.
He cuts some of the best promos.
Yep.
He, in the middle of his match, he has the best commentary.
Oh, yes, he does.
You know, and I mean, he's terrific in the ring. Mm-hmm. So give him something to do that's not the same thing we've watched him do for 3 years.
And that's the thing that's unfortunate, is like he's taking what they're giving him and trying to make the best of it.
And like, I mean, don't get me wrong, he makes the best of it.
Like, I think Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens as a feud is awesome. I think they, except for one match, the first go around in NXT and on the main roster, they pretty much boloed it. Like, in my opinion, WWE screwed it up with the booking, except for one match they had that actually Sami Zayn went over. And now, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens together, it's similar to Jericho and Owens, but it's different. And I don't know about you, but I'm loving Sami Zayn as a heel, because he's just so ridiculous and annoying. It's great.
But that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've seen the two of them feud for a while.
Yep.
So now it's kind of, they're just switching who's the face and the heel.
Right.
It's like, and now they're doing the same thing again. And it's like, all right.
Yeah,
I get they have great chemistry.
Right.
But come on.
They put them together in, what was it, October? Right?
Something like that.
Hell in a Cell. That's when they put them together. And now here it is February. It's 4 months later. And they've already teasing they're going to break them up. Why aren't they together for a good solid year before they do
That's the other thing. You know?
Long-term booking isn't there anymore.
But at the same time, like, I get they want that as a WrestleMania match, because it would be a big...
Yep.
You know, that would be a great match. But like you said, like, there's no long-term... Maybe they could have had at WrestleMania the big, you know, falling out, and then have it build to SummerSlam and have that be, you know, one of the marquee SummerSlam matches. But who knows?
Okay, so, well, after WrestleMania, all the pay-per-views are going to be joint Raw and SmackDown shows.
I think at the same time...
Well, again, that goes with the booking, though. Now you'll have guys like Heath Slater, let's just say, who's, you know, essentially a job guy, but he might get a spot on a SmackDown-only pay-per-view in, like, a preliminary match. He's definitely not getting one now, because you can have Ryan SmackDown talent and all the titles and everything else like that fighting for airtime on the pay-per-view. Oh, yeah. And I also heard, I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. I also heard that Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam are now going to 4 hours.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think the
Royal Rumble is going to have
like five now, basically.
WrestleMania was like 7.5 last year.
I hate kayfabe news, but they said Royal Rumble, the WrestleMania pre-show starts at the end of Fastlane. Like, they had an old article about how WWE is going to start doing the WrestleMania pre-show when Fastlane ends Sunday night.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is.
But if you're going to have a men's and a women's Royal Rumble match,
yep.
figure those are both an hour each.
Yep.
You need to have the extra hour. You can't do every other match in an hour.
And by doing SummerSlam and Survivor Series as longer shows, you can get more talent on them. I get it. To me, Survivor Series needs to go back to all teams of five will survive, period.
Yep.
Nothing else. That'll save that show. That'll extend storylines to me. You know,
and you can start storylines from it.
Bring back the King of the Ring pay-per-view. Make that a four-hour pay-per-view where you have eight guys from SmackDown, eight guys from Raw, wrestling in the King of the Ring pay-per-view tournament.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, Money in the Bank is going to be... they're gonna
joint.
Have, joint, Did yeah. You're going to have four guys from Raw and four guys from SmackDown and four guys and gals from Raw and SmackDown, I mean, in the two matches. So that's kind of cool.
There are eight or are there six in those matches?
There's going to be eight competitors in the matches now because they're going to do four from each show. I think the first one had seven people in it, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought that it was a bunch that had six, and then they added a seventh that one time.
It could be, yeah. I honestly don't recall. The one I saw live at WrestleMania 24, CM Punk won, and I feel like they had six guys in there. But then Matt Hardy did a run-in to attack MVP, so... Bodies all over the place, right?
Yeah.
Oh, let's just finish up WWE stuff. So, did you read about the Cruiserweight Tag Team Championship that will be introduced after WrestleMania?
I did, and I am not even interested in the slightest.
Well,
it like, looks... I don't get what they're doing with the Cruiserweights.
Have you been watching 205 Live at all?
No.
Okay, so Vince McMahon doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. It's all Triple
H. Triple H.
And it's been really good. They'll have...
Have the matches gone more than 8 seconds
angles? They literally have two matches a show, practically.
Okay.
And it's all been for this tournament to crown the new Cruiserweight champion. And it's like
two 12-man tag matches?
Nope. And it's like watching the two... It's like watching the Cruiserweight Classic again.
Ah, okay.
These last few weeks. So you should catch up on 205 Live. That has been good, and there's been some good matches going on 205 Live. And, so they're going to introduce Cruiserweight tag team titles to put on the show to try to keep the brand, you know, thriving, I guess. And I have this little note I wrote down here. The WCW Cruiserweight tag team titles were introduced in February 2001 in a tournament that concluded on March 18th at the Greed pay-per-view. And Kid Romeo and Elix Skipper beat Billy Kidman and Rey Mysterio Jr. in the finals. And then the following week, on the last episode of Monday Nitro, which was also the final WCW event, Kidman and Mysterio captured the titles from Romeo and Skipper to be the final Cruiserweight champions, tag team champions. With the rumors of Rey Mysterio being re-signed to the WWE and everything, if he ends up on 205 Live and for whatever reason wins the belts, I think that would be kind of funny, personally.
Well, I saw somewhere that he maybe tore his bicep and he's out for a while.
I have read that he tore his bicep and is out. I've read that it's a partial tear, not a complete tear, so there's still a possibility he can just tape it up because there's time between, you know, there's a month between now and then. And so we'll find out when we see it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of new titles... Did you see the new title they're introducing on NXT, the North American Championship?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
I don't think the show's long enough.
But that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You know, again, if you made a TV title with a 10-minute limit, you could throw that match on every week.
I was talking about this in another group with some other people, and that's what I said too. If they created a TV championship, it had like a 10-minute time limit. They actually went back to time limits. Those are aspects that the WWE doesn't seem to use anymore to help build and advance storylines. Countouts, time limits, you know, they'll do double disqualifications galore, you know, run-ins and this and that. Do a double countout or a regular countout, you know, do a time limit draw. I've been reading Bob Backlund's book lately, and basically you can see the formula that they used back then with him, like at Madison Square Garden with guys. His first show, usually he would lose either by countout or disqualification, or back then I guess they would do a blood stoppage, but it didn't. Okay. The title didn't change hands. And then the second show the second return match to the Garden against this guy, and they would do this around the loop, basically. Either it would be a double count out, or the other guy would lose by count out, or disqualification, or something of that nature. And then they'd have the third match, which would then Backlund would then win decisively, usually with his finish in the ring.
Right.
Or occasionally they'd mix it up, and on the second match together, he would win. Or he'd just have some one-offs with people. But, like, it was basic booking, and that, like, that's why I think time limits are so great, because I enjoy watching a 20-minute time limit draw where you don't have a winner, so now you have a reason to have a return match.
Correct.
But they're going to crown the first ever NXT North American champion at TakeOver the night before WrestleMania in a ladder match with Velveteen Dream.
A six-way match?
Six-man ladder match, yeah. With Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, EC3, and Ricochet.
Look, I am not denying that that match is going to be awesome.
Yep.
You know, I mean, well, okay, has the potential to be awesome.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, look, it gets all those guys onto the show, which is great, yep, especially at a TakeOver.
Yep.
But I can't say I'm excited for the title.
I mean, I can't say I'm excited for the title either. You know, like, they could take the North American title and make it like the TV title, do 10-minute time limit draws, blah, 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 blah. Ultimately, I don't think NXT needs a secondary title because they have a one-hour TV show.
Yep.
And the only reason why I think they're introducing the secondary title is because NXT does two tours. They have their main tour that goes around the country, if you will. Like, they do, like, a route through near Ohio area, let's just say, or in the Northeast, or wherever it is. And then they have their secondary tour, which just stays around these same venues they run every week, practically, in Florida. So they have A and a B squad. And I think the North American title is going to give them to have a title on the B squad.
Yeah, but at the same time, like you said, there's an hour show.
Yeah.
And there's now going to be a fourth belt.
Yeah. And it's hard to highlight all those titles in a one-hour show.
Yeah.
But then again, that kind of, again, all right, so then that goes back to what we were discussing about, like, how NXT TakeOver is better, because you don't see Andre Almas every week on the show, or the tag champs, or the women's champ. You know, you might see him 1 week, then you don't see him for a couple weeks, and they can do the slow build of their storylines to get to the match at TakeOver. So I don't know. A little bit more history. The WWF had a North American championship previously. It was awarded to Ted DiBiase February 13th, 1979, to give him instant credibility with the company. He lost it to Pat Patterson June 19th, 1979. And then on September 1st, it was announced that Pat Patterson had gone to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and won the South American championship in a tournament. So they unified the North and South American championships into the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
In Bob Backlund's book recently, he stated that as a favor to Antonio Inoki and New Japan Pro Wrestling, on November 8th, 1979, they had Pat Patterson lose the North American Championship to Seiji Sakaguchi. And then he held that championship until April of 1981 when it was abandoned, but they never recognized that title or anything in the United States. It was just to put a WWF championship over in New Japan and to give some of their guys some credibility because he's holding an American championship.
Huh.
So, and then, of course, the NWA North American Championship has been around for a long time, but it was recognized in the WWE from January to March of 1998 during the NWA invasion angle.
Right.
Oh, let's see. What else have I got for my WWE news to talk about real quick? Oh, did you see they confirmed that you're going to have the Greatest Royal Rumble April 27th at the King Abdul Sports City in Jeddah,
Saudi Arabia? Yeah, I'm curious if we'll ever see that.
Well, it says, okay, it's listed as that it is going to be a pay-per-view type event. And it's going to be a 50-man Royal Rumble featuring talent from Raw and SmackDown. So I bet it'll be on the network. Because there's no way people aren't going to want to watch this, personally.
Do you think it's going to be live on the network, or it'll be, you know, like a month or so from now, it'll just be like, hey, check out this match?
I bet you the whole show will be on the network after, like it'll be, you know, they've done it live before. You know, they've done live from Japan.
Right.
and they've done Live from the UK. So they could put this on Live, you know, at whatever time it would be. You know, if they have a matinee show there, maybe it's at night. I don't know. Let's see here. I don't know how the time changes. Say they do a 1 p.m. show there. I mean, maybe that's 9 o'clock at night here. So it's believable they could have it on Live. Or they could just have it and then present it that night. But the thing is, spoilers.
Yeah.
You know, someone will find out something. But I was reading about the place they're going to have it in, that King Abdul Sports City. And it's used primarily for soccer. With soccer, it has a capacity of 63,241. So once they, you know, set up chairs and shit on the field, you could have, you know, 78,000 to 80,000 people in there if they sell out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
But you know that Kali is going to win.
No, he's Indian. He's not Saudi Arabian, though.
Doesn't matter.
Likewise. Go ahead.
It's interesting, though, because they announced, like, people that they announced were, you know, like Triple H and stuff like that, who, you know, really doesn't do things much anymore.
Well, you know,
besides make a dumb WrestleMania match. But, yeah, I mean, I guess they're, not only do they have 50 people that they need to put in, but, I mean, they want everyone to come out and see it.
Yeah, and like Vince McMahon is, this is in connection with some 10-year multicultural deal thing that they got going on over there. So,
yeah. Speaking of which,
yeah.
I think I'm over Ronda Rousey.
You're over her already?
Yeah.
I know we haven't seen her in the ring yet. Or we saw her botch us some drop already.
Yeah. Yeah,
we've seen her
botch a couple promos.
I'm gonna hold off until we actually see a match. But personally speaking, I think they just need to get Paul Heyman to be her mouthpiece and let her stand around and you know look tough.
This is what needed to have happened. I have zero interest in seeing Triple H and Stephanie against Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle.
Yeah, me too.
They built the storyline a couple years ago with The Rock, which, as much as I don't care to see him back, it would have made
more sense for him,
but the only way I think I would be excited about this is if you don't even know who her partner is.
Oh yeah,
you have no idea.
They just would have done mystery partner the whole way,
and then at WrestleMania freaking CM Punk came out. Who hates Triple H more than him?
Nobody.
And who would do anything that they could do to screw them over?
Yep.
And that would be amazing. And then not only that, or I mean, even if, you know, you revealed her partner earlier, he would do the promos.
Yep.
You know, I mean, Kurt Angle's not terrible, but
I can't watch Kurt Angle because A, he can't turn his head. If you watch him in the ring, his legs are—he's constantly—he can't stand up straight. His legs are constantly bent at the knees because he can't stand up straight. And so I just, when I see him, like he walks odd, he moves odd, like he just needs to go rest up.
And he can't say W,
huh?
And he can't say W.
Yeah, he really can't say W, can he?
No.
Like he cannot enunciate W at all.
No.
So
WWE.
And the WWE, yeah. So there's a rumored show in Australia for October at the 100,000-seat Melbourne Cricket Ground Stadium, which will be a pay-per-view event as well. So WWE's trying to do some big-ass shows international, I guess. The Milesers say it seems like they're taking WrestleMania on the road.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, with the Australia one, they have a lot of Australian talent. I mean, they had more before they started releasing people.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of people from Australia and New Zealand.
Yep.
So it's good, you know, that they can do stuff like this and bring bigger shows down there.
Well, we haven't seen the Iconic Duo on TV because they got breast implants.
Seriously?
Yeah, someone posted that today about it, and then someone wrote, they got breast implants, and then they showed some before and after pictures. So either someone's, you know, like, superimposed pictures, or they legit got breast implants, and that's why they haven't been on TV since the War Games takeover. Yep.
Great.
So. whatever. Oh, let's talk about. Do we want to talk about Fastlane at all? I mean, we should, I guess. Are you gonna watch Fastlane?
I'm sort of interested in the Charlotte Ruby Riot match, but
yeah,
it's gonna be something screwy is gonna happen, and as long as they don't ruin Charlotte hopefully facing Asuka at WrestleMania.
Yeah, because they really haven't. Asuka hasn't really said who she's gonna wrestle.
No, they're hinting a lot at it being Alexa Bliss, but yeah. I don't think it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna be Charlotte.
I think it needs to happen. I think it does need to happen. I think what they need to do. This is what they'll do, probably. My opinion. They'll move Asuka to SmackDown, and she'll take on Charlotte and win the belt. And then she'll hold it for a year. And then they'll have Ronda Rousey on Raw. Now, do you think Ronda Rousey is going to be brought in like Brock Lesnar occasionally? Or do you think she's going to be there more after WrestleMania?
Well, she's already appeared more on TV than him this year.
Fair enough. But do you think after WrestleMania she'll start being there weekly? Because realistically, she needs to have matches to get better. And she's not going to get better having one match here and there.
Right.
So anyways, this is my theory. Ronda Rousey will then be undefeated on Raw brand, and then at Royal Rumble next year, she'll win the Royal Rumble match, and then she'll challenge Asuka on SmackDown for the title, and you'll have the two undefeated people, and then probably, you know, Ronda Rousey will get the win.
Goes to a double disqualification.
Fair enough. Works perfect for me, too.
Because it'll have everybody run in because no one can beat either of them.
Right, exactly. But I think if to me that'd be a great long-term booking.
Yeah, except I don't want to see her.
Right.
At all.
Okay, fair enough.
At the end of all of her, she's angry and she's got this scowl on her face and she's pissed and blah blah blah, and then Kurt Angle raises her hand and she tilts her head to the side and has a dopey ass grin. And then she drags Stephanie into the ring and, you know, knocks her out. And then, you know, they finally get Triple H and Stephanie out. And she's got this scowl on her face. And then Kurt Angle raises her hands and she tilts her head and has a dopey grin. She's like, come on.
I noticed that when she debuted after the Rumble, she'd be like, smiles, all smiles, because she was genuinely happy, excited, and nervous. And then mean face to point to the sign. And then back to smiles, all smiles, and mean face to point to the sign. Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of pointing to the sign.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. I hate that, too.
I hate every bit of it.
All right,
like,
so...
why is there a giant WrestleMania sign on Raw every week?
Yep.
It's not WrestleMania. It's
the
it's
road
Raw.
To WrestleMania.
That's stupid.
Six matches on the card right now. They haven't announced a pre-show match yet. We got Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella. I don't know why this is on here. I don't get it.
But a second women's match?
I guess. Sure. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Rusev in a singles match. I'm looking forward to that match, actually.
How do you book that?
Oh, Nakamura goes over with a Kinshasa in the center of the ring.
But this is the thing.
Yeah.
When was the last time Rusev won a match?
It's been a while, yeah. It's been a while.
So WWE booking has him winning that match clean.
Oh, that makes sense. Then Nakamura is in jeopardy of, you know, WrestleMania. Okay, makes sense. Charlotte Flair versus Ruby Riott for the title.
I think that'll be good.
I think it'll be a good
match.
But
I don't think the title's going to change.
Yeah, no, it's not going to change at all. And SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, the Usos against the New Day.
Yeah, remember when they had that match that said if they don't win that match, they'll never have this match again?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's only been 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, 3 years down the road, I get it. But come on, it hasn't even been half a year.
United States Championship match, Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. Now, why the frig? I understand, whatever. I'm surprised they didn't make this a triple threat match with Jinder Mahal after he beat Randy Orton this past week. Because that's the logical booking WWE does now. I don't know. I'm interested to see.
Yeah, maybe they'll do that. You should know.
And then the six-pack challenge for the WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus Cena versus Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler. I do not think when you have the match of Nakamura versus AJ Styles that this match should even be happening.
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion. I think it's stupid. Because if they have Styles lose, or this is my fear. They're gonna have John Cena win the match, and then at WrestleMania it'll be John Cena versus AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a triple threat match. That's my biggest fear.
Yeah.
And that's gonna not make me not watch WrestleMania because I'll still watch it, but it's gonna piss me off because it just needs to be Styles versus Nakamura. They cannot screw that up. I mean, they can. They've done it, but you know what I mean. Are you watching the mixed match challenge at all?
Mixed match?
Yeah.
No, because I don't get it.
All right, I will actually say.
I mean, at some point, if they threw together something on the network where it was just all there.
Well, they do have.
Maybe I'll sit and watch.
They do have it on the network, like the week after it's on Facebook Live, it's on the network.
Yeah, but I'm not gonna. I don't like Facebook, so I'm not going to go out of my way to watch.
No, I've been watching it on the network.
I don't care about on Facebook.
Yeah. I will say this. I am quite surprised of how enjoyable it's been to watch. Because it really, like, it comes off like they have the match, and all four participants are just out there having fun. I'm not saying they're not taking it seriously, but they're just having fun with it. You know, there's a lot of trash talking going on. There's just a lot of kind of ridiculousness going on. Actually enjoying it very thoroughly. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe I'll watch it at some point.
So, anyways, I am a week from tomorrow, which is March 9th. On March 16th,
yeah,
I'm going to be at Madison Square Garden. Fulfilling
awesome.
A lifelong dream of going to the Garden to see a show.
And, to see Nikki Bella in mixed tag action.
That. Jesus. But, you know, main event, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman versus Kane in a triple threat match for the Universal Championship. Getting to see Brock Lesnar wrestle live is kind of cool, only because he never does. But I hope it's not one of like the 35-second match that Lesnar and Kane had in Chicago last week.
That's what I was going to ask. Do you think it goes longer than the Chicago match they got booed out of the building?
I hope so.
I mean, why are you going to do that in Chicago where you know the crowd is insane?
Yeah. Makes Kane look a little weak, huh? Takes a German suplex in F5, and he's done. Yeah, I mean, he's 50, but still. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and Finn Balor against Miz and the Miztourage. This is stupid. It should be Finn Balor and the club against Miz and the Miztourage in a six-man tag. This match right here, I see Balor working hard. I see Rollins working hard. I see Reigns going through the motions, but whatever.
Yeah, but luckily you'll get to see him get the spear and the win.
And the Superman punch, probably. And then we'll see the triple power bomb on somebody. Probably Bo Dallas.
Mm.
John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Elias and Bayley. Moving on. The New Day versus The Bar versus Titus O'Neil and Apollo. So the New Day for a triple threat match for the Raw Tag Team Championship. So for the New Day, for some reason, is going to be on Raw. On my Raw House show.
Well, I mean, look.
Maybe they'll be the new SmackDown Tag Team Champs.
Possibly.
So, okay, The Bar has been saying how they have no challengers, no one can beat them, they've beaten everybody, and then they wrestle the Revival and have a decent match, but they beat the Revival. Do you think this is all leading to their WrestleMania match where they'll take on the Woken Hardys?
Oh, interesting.
Jeff's been cleared to wrestle.
But... do you think that would happen before the Ultimate Deletion or whatever they're calling this new one?
No, that won't be at WrestleMania. That'll be on Raw, probably. I bet. But I could see the bar facing a surprise team and it being the Woken Hardys.
Unless you think it's going to be the Authors of Pain who get finally called up.
Oh, God, I hope not. I can't think of a single SmackDown tag team with Bobby Fish being, because Bobby Fish is injured. And then they've got a tag match on TakeOver the night before. I can't think of a single NXT tag team I think that could be called up at this point and be viable contenders, but maybe.
Unless they decide to completely ignore storyline and put DIY back together to win the belt.
Don't see that happening either, sir.
And I don't see that happening at all.
The match that I'm most excited about at Madison Square Garden is AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yep.
That should be pretty damn awesome. Yep. And then the other people advertised are Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt, Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, and Asuka. I was hoping to see the Revival, and I was hoping to see Gallows and Anderson. But there's still a chance. There's also still potential that Triple H could be wrestling on the show, because he typically wrestles the Garden show prior to WrestleMania. As, you know, get some ring rust off type of thing.
Do you think it's going to be him and Angle?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I wouldn't be, you know, anything, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Triple H on the card. So.
Yeah.
Outside the realm of the WWE, I watched, like I said earlier, I watched the New Japan Pro Wrestling 46th Anniversary Show.
Okay.
A couple matches stood out on there. It's going to be Minoru Suzuki against Makabe for the Intercontinental Championship. That was a pretty great, hard-hitting, very hard-hitting match. And then the main event of Will Ospreay against Okada. In a, where they have the IWGP Heavyweight and Junior Heavyweight Champions wrestle each other in a non-title match. They went almost 30 minutes, and that was really freaking good. I really recommend you guys watching that match, anybody watching that match. Okada has been killing it now for over a year. He's been the IWGP champion, I think it's like 606 days or whatever, 626 days as of the show the other day. He is one title defense away from having the most consecutive title defenses in a single reign. He's the longest reigning single champion. He's the longest reigning combined reign champion for days. And his matches going back prior to Wrestle Kingdom last year when he wrestled Kenny Omega, I mean, he's basically big, you know, he reminds me of, I don't know, Ric Flair in respect to having, being known for having these long marathons, great storytelling matches while being the consummate champion as far as, you know, the long title reign. Every match he has is treated like, you know, a big money match when he has a singles match, and it's just, they start slow and build and they go, and I mean, just they just tell a phenomenal story. Be hard pressed to find a guy right now anywhere in any league wrestling as good as he is right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. So. You know, I mean, like, there's a few, but not like that.
Oh, one of the things I wanted to bring up back when we were talking about WWE stuff, and we were talking about the North American Championship.
Okay.
Is the, the UK Championship. Like, one of my friends said, why don't they just, like, redo the championship and make it the UK title, like, the North American title and everything. And it's been over a year. Do you think they're ever going to get that UK show off the ground?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like they have so many things in the works.
Yep.
You know, that... I mean, I'd like to see it, but again, at this, you know, at the same time, the people who are behind all this stuff,
yep,
are starting to spread themselves very thin.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Well, anywho, Pete Dunne is teaming up with, is it Roderick Strong in the Dusty Rhodes Classic?
Oh yeah. Oh, do you think you might get them? You know, any of those guys or NXT guys at the MSG show?
That would be awesome. I don't know, but that would be absolutely awesome. I would absolutely love to see them. I know, like, for instance, I wouldn't expect to see them. Okay, so April 27th is the Saudi Arabia, the Russell, the Greatest Royal Rumble match.
Right.
I don't think Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne are all booked to wrestle in Halifax, Nova Scotia that night.
Okay.
Which is funny because WWE had a show booked that night in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And so the independent promotion, UCW, is running their, I think it's 11th anniversary show. And they're originally going to run it on the 27th in Halifax, and they're having a two-ring War Games match, and the show is also highlighted by the main event of Tyler Bate against Pete Dunne.
Okay.
Then WWE announced they were going to do a show in Halifax that night. So then they moved their show to Friday night, because they had shows on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this league, UCW. So then they moved that show to Friday night in Halifax, so that way people didn't have to pick one or the other.
Right.
And then WWE cancels that show because they announced this show over in Saudi Arabia. So it would suck for that league, and if they end up pulling Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate and Trent Seven to put them in the Royal Rumble match in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So, anywho, let's see here. Oh, the Young Bucks have officially announced that they're going to be in the heavyweight division now for tag teams over in New Japan. They were everybody else, but in New Japan they were juniors, but now they're going to be in the heavyweight tag team division. So,
do you think? Did you see that they were going back and forth with the Bar?
Yes, the Bar announced they had no challengers and for WrestleMania, and the Young Bucks noted, "Hey, we got that day open."
Yeah.
I don't ever see them going to WWE because they have that big All In show on September 1st.
Yeah.
Did you see they announced the location for that?
I did not, but I'm assuming it's Chicago.
It is the Sears Center Arena, which is actually outside Chicago, but still. So far announced, they have confirmed the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, Marty Scurll, Hangman Page, Stephen Amell from Arrow, and Tessa Blanchard are all confirmed to be all in. And confirmed to be not in is Flip Gordon, which if you watch... I don't know if you ever watched Being the Elite, which I think is absolutely hilarious. The storyline is that Cody Rhodes hates Flip Gordon for some reason, but the Young Bucks like him. They like having him around. And at a Ring of Honor show a couple weeks ago, the fans could vote for the stipulation. And one of them was like, it'd be like a no-holds-barred match, like a 2 out of 3 falls match. And then the third stipulation was, if Flip wins, he gets to be all in. And that's what the fans voted for. And then he lost. And so they put out that they have this graphic they're using that has this is like with the All In logo, and then it's a picture of the wrestler, and they had it with Flip, and they had the crossed out the All In and just wrote no. So I assume Flip is going to be on the show personally, but I thought that was pretty damn funny. If that wasn't in Chicago, if they did that in the Northeast, I would probably try to go to it because that's probably going to be a pretty awesome show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a pretty damn awesome show. And sad news, in my opinion, Keiji Muto, a.k.a. the Great Muta, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, he's having double knee replacement surgery at the end of the month. He's 55 years old. And he feels that having this double knee replacement is going to end his career. So he's right now gearing up to have what he is considering his last match, or the final moonsault. March 14th at the Russell 1 show at the Korakuen Hall in Tokyo. Okay. And he's going to be in an 8-man tag team match. And all the competitors in the match, the other 7 guys, are all people that he trained at the All Japan Dojo.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So this, and I've also heard another rumor that this will be his final match as Keiji Muto, and then for DDT Pro, prior to his knee replacement, he's going to have his final match as the Great Muta. So I don't know. I haven't heard anything other than that one person saying that. I haven't seen anything about the DDT Pro show. All I've heard about is the Russell One show, which is Muta's federation that he started, his promotion. So, yeah. They're saying that once he has a knee replacement, he'll be It'll take him a year or better to recover, and then by then he'll be 56.
Right.
So, I mean, I would imagine that he's probably done, you know, after 34 years in the ring or whatever it is, so. Hmm. I saw him back in 2012 in New Jersey for a Pro Wrestling Syndicate show. It was their 5th anniversary. He did an autograph signing. I got my picture with him. And then he wrestled that night as the Great Muta. Him and Kai, which is one of his partners at the All Japan at the Wrestle One show, they wrestled. Shit, what's the guy's name? He was in TNA, and then now he's on Impact. Now he's on 205 Live. Oh. Tony Nese. He wrestled Tony Nese and Sami Callihan in a tag team match. So. And I guess one more thing I want to chat about is tomorrow night, March the 9th, Ring of Honor is having their 16th anniversary show in Las Vegas.
Awesome.
Yeah. And...
Jeez, 16 years.
Yeah, 16th anniversary show. They're having a pre-show, live pre-show air on Facebook Live of Tennille Dashwood and Brandi Rhodes wrestling in the Women of Honor tournament. Also, secondary Women of Honor championship tournament will be Sumi Sakai and Hana Kimura. And then at the actual pay-per-view, we have Flip Gordon taking on Hiromu Takahashi, which, Hiromu Takahashi used to be Kimitachi when he was on his touring around, when they sent him on his journey, whatever they call it. And then now back in New Japan, he's Hiromu Takahashi, and he is freaking awesome in the ring. He is so good, and he's had some killer matches lately. And at the Honor Rising shows at the end of February, on night one, in a triple threat match, it was Flip Gordon making his New Japan debut against Hiromu Takahashi and Kushida. And Flip Gordon got the win when he pinned Hiromu. And then the next night, Hiromu got his win back when he beat Flip Gordon. So this continues their storyline feud there. So this match actually should be pretty damn awesome. They're having a Vegas street fight for the Ring of Honor World 6-Man Tag Team Championships. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be SoCal Uncensored against the Hung Bucks. Yes. SoCal Uncensored, who is Scorpio Sai, Scorpio Sky, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian against Adam Page and the Young Bucks. So, I remember seeing the ladder match with Kazarian and Daniels against the Young Bucks at All-Star Extravaganza 8, so they're having a Las Vegas street fight. I can only imagine this is going to kick a lot of butt, most likely. What else? Marty Scurll versus Punishment Martinez and Matt Taven and Cody Rhodes wrestling in a grudge match. There's no way Taven's winning that. Jesus. The Briscoe. What?
Nothing. Just
yeah. The Briscoe brothers and the Motor City Machine Guns battling for the Ring of Honor tag team titles, and then Jay Lethal against Dalton Castle for the Ring of Honor World Championship.
It's going to be a good match.
I think it's going to be a great match, yeah. I'm just biding my time because May 9th, I'm going to the Ring of Honor Ring of Honor New Japan show that they're doing together, the tour in Lowell, Massachusetts. So, they haven't, because we still have, we got the Las Vegas pay-per-view, there's a TV taping the next day. There's a Supercard of Honor 12 in New Orleans on April 7th, and then a couple house shows. Let's see, 4 house shows, actually. And then finally, the War of the Worlds tour starts off in Lowell, Massachusetts, when it's Ring of Honor New Japan. And I can't wait for them to start announcing talent. They haven't announced anything yet. We got to wait for them to get through these other pay-per-views first. But it just says dream matches and huge championship belts are guaranteed when Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling join forces. So,
it'll be fun. That's always a good time.
We got front row, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
same seats by the entryway?
Okay, so it was funny this time. When I went on to buy them, you couldn't actually pick your seat this time. You picked what row you wanted to be in. Because previously, you could actually click on what seat you wanted. And I also think this has to do with how popular Ring of Honor is right now. Because previously, like, I'd go in, I'd grab those four seats. The first, the other two times that we went for the pay-per-views, I'd pick those four seats, and boom, we were solid. This time, it did give me four tickets in the front row. We are on an aisle, but it's basically on the other side of the ring, so I'll actually be able to see the entryway instead of turning, but I liked it. It didn't matter. But, like, I got those four seats. I got those – there's three of us going, so I got those three seats. And then after I always buy tickets, I always plug in three more just for shiggles to see what it gives me. And it's, like, the floor – like, in the years past, the front row wouldn't sell out the first day. And the floor basically sold out the first day this time. So that's, to me, how big New Japan Pro Wrestling is right now, that they want to see these guys from New Japan – and this is the only way they know they're going to see him live. Because, yeah, the other two pay-per-views we went to there did not sell tickets this fast. And this is a house show. This is not even a pay-per-view that we're going to. It's the first day of the tour. So, yeah. I think it says something for what how big New Japan is right now.
Yeah.
Anywho, I think that's everything I got, dude. You got anything you want to add?
No, I don't have anything else.
Do you? I've already seen teases about it since they announced it's going to be in Chicago. What do you think the chances of CM Punk showing up at All In are?
I mean, come on. It's. I would say right now it's like chances of him showing up at that, at the very least, being in the crowd and being highlighted with something.
Yeah.
It's like 104%.
Now, do they announce beforehand he's going to be there if ticket sales are low, or they just make him a surprise?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't think ticket sales are going to be low because it's Chicago.
Well, they want to prove a point. They want to show that – because, like, Ring of Honor's never run a 10,000-seat venue before.
Right.
So they want to prove that, you know, independent wrestling can – you know, someone else besides WWE can do this. They can sell out a 10,000-seat arena. And – I think it's, you know, it's a big gamble they're taking.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting when tickets go on sale how they do.
Right.
And then if it is struggling, then they go, all right, we're going to announce, you know, that CM Punk's going to be there.
I think something like that.
That'll guarantee sell the place out. If they do.
Oh, absolutely. That would guarantee the secondary ticket market would be selling tickets for, you know, $2,000 plus.
So part of my thought is, like, they want to show they can do it on their own without CM Punk and have him be a surprise, but I don't know.
Yeah.
For rate this, it's showing for concerts. The maximum capacity is 11,800. So that's with floor seating, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see when it's all done how many people they put in there. I really think anything over 10,000 will be worth it. It's funny because I'd love to see this. I'm reading this now that apparently the fourth annual TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view event was held at this venue. It also was this venue featured the first ever Impact Wrestling outside of Orlando TV tapings there in 2013. Huh.
So how many did they sell at that event?
I'm like checking on that now.
2,200?
Attendance was 5,000.
Yeah. I think Ring of Honor can double that.
It's not Ring of Honor.
Well, yes, it's not Ring of Honor.
It's All In.
Right.
I already know people that have booked flights and hotels, like, from Maine.
Yeah.
The tickets haven't even gone on sale yet. And I think, here's the thing, if they do this once, I think they can pull it off. If they start doing this a couple times a year, I think the shine will come off.
See, I think if they were to do this once or twice a year,
yeah,
you know, pick a couple big, you know, wrestling hotbeds.
Yeah.
Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I could see them always. Look, I mean, I don't think that they're going to do an event at, you know, Madison Square Garden.
No, no.
But, you know, I can easily see some other places around here,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they could do something like that. And I think the crowds want to see them.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, you would probably, not all the time.
Yep.
But if this show were to go to Chicago this year, next year it's in Philadelphia, the year after it's in, you know, say California, then the year after it's in New York, and they just kind of rotate kind of that way.
Yeah.
Every 3-4 years, if they did one of these, you know, like a big type show like this with all the, you know, the biggest independent names.
Yep.
I think it would do huge business.
I think they're going to need to do more than just the biggest independent names, because you look at shows like PWG.
Right.
You know, they really bring in the quote-unquote biggest independent names.
Yeah, and if the, you know, PWG stuff did a show in an arena this size, it would sell out.
Well, PWG has always done that 400-person hall at the American Legion.
And that's the point.
Well, here's the thing. This last time the tickets went on sale, they oversold somehow. Like, the thing didn't shut off when it sold the correct number of tickets. So they actually moved the show. It's going to be at, like, some grand ballroom or some shit in Los Angeles, which is, like, I think it'll hold, like, 1,500 people or something like that.
Hmm.
And so it'll be interesting to see if they sell that out and if the environment change affects the crowd, affects, you know what I mean, how it affects things. Because, you know, yeah, it's a 400-person crowd. They sell it out every time, standing room only. They pack that place in. They put on some unbelievable matches. And people have been clamoring for years, oh, go to a bigger venue. But if you lose that intimacy, do you lose the appeal of which is PWG?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
It's like, you know, Limitless Wrestling, you know, they do pretty damn close to selling out the Westbrook Armory every other month when they run the show there, you know, 400 people plus in there. And in, what was it, last November, I want to say it was, they had to move it to another venue because of an event at the Armory so they got bumped for an Armory event for the National Guard. So they had to move it to this Portland club in Portland. And the place was packed. But it just wasn't the same.
Right.
It wasn't the same at all. And then when we went back to the Armory in January, I was like, oh, okay, we're home again. This feels right. So it'll be interesting to watch that PWG show when it comes out to see if the look and the feel and everything is just too different. Too off. Oh, I guess one more thing I want to bring up. They added over 90 episodes of WWF All-Star Wrestling to the network.
All right.
Which aired from... The shows take place from 1975 to 1980. In 1975, they have one show. In 1976, they have maybe a half dozen shows up. So the closer to the 80s is when they have the majority of the shows. But I've already watched 3 episodes. I watched the 1975 episode. I watched 2 episodes in 1976. I will watch them all. Yeah, it's not the greatest wrestling in the world, but it's just, this is a time frame in the history of the WWE that I'm book familiar with, but as of actually seeing matches, it's just not been out there. There's a handful they've released from that time frame, and they show those ones over and over again. And then in the old school section, they have like some complete cards from like the Garden or whatever. They have a few shows from the 70s in there from that time frame. But for the most part, being able to watch this episodic television and watching storylines play out and seeing the build towards Superstar Billy Graham as champion and then him being champion, and then watching the build for Bob Backlund to champion and then him being champion. I mean, that's a whole section, again, except for a handful of matches they've released over the years that we never hear about. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. And it's interesting, in my opinion. It's interesting. So, But I guess that's everything for me.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Cool. Cool, cool. Cool, cool. Well, okay. I guess we'll do our things. You can find us on the Twitter bot. I'm at SuperstarML.
I'm at Aaron S. Bell.
Ronnie's RonBar316. The show is Thousand Holds Pods. Pod. Singular, not pluralized. Even though a thousand is like a plural, you know, it's a big number. It's multiple, but whatever.
Yeah, but we're talking more like cocoon pod.
Oh, okay, fair enough, fair enough. And don't forget the show's on Facebook. Is it?
Yeah.
Podcast with Thousand Holds. Yeah, it is. I haven't seen anything on it in such a long time, I guess. And thanks.
My dog is asleep here, so I'm not yelling.
Okay, all right, fair enough.